Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
The Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday. Not Crab Feast, that ass. Man, I don't know if we ever touched.
Man, I don't know if we ever touched. You know why? Because I can't even hear.
Two pitches passing in the night. Why, you all clogged up?
Clogged up. Do you realize, is it our age? I know so many people that have been sick for like 2 months straight.
It's children.
I know, but I know other people that are adults that are just like 2 months.
I can't shake them easier anymore.
You can't get rid of it.
It sticks around for 6 weeks and shit. You're like, what is still going on here?
Stoops.
I hear you. It's good to see you. At least half healthy.
Good to see you, Sickle. Feast Nation, great to be here with you, as always. You can find me at Jay Larson Comedy on all social media, jaylarsoncomedy.com, if you want to go check out my special or anything else related to me. The only things I want to plug is late April I'll be in Boston at Laugh Boston. I'm super looking forward to it. Go get some tickets. And I did a great podcast that I had such a great time called Live Wire Radio. You can check them out at livewireradio.org. It's a great show called Live Wire with Luke Burbank. Luke is a great guy.
You're not going to believe this right now.
Luke Burbank!
Luke Burbank!
Get your ass in here, Luke. It's an NPR show, and it's so cool. They had an author up front who just wrote this amazing book, George Saunders, and then myself, and then Jenny Brusso, who's local up there, and then this band called Horse Feathers. So there's like comedy, there's music, there's... It's just a really cool show, and it's a great show to go support. So check out livewireradio.org. With Luke Burbank. It's a great show. Sickle Cell?
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. You're going to hear me say this on the show for the next couple of months. We are taking a survey of our listeners, and we'd like you to participate. It will help us learn more about you, no matter how long you've been a listener or how frequently you listen to this show. So please take a few minutes, visit our website at thecrabfeast.com. You'll find the listener survey link right on the homepage at the top right. And you can complete the survey anonymously. So thank you in advance for doing that, guys. It'll help us out. And did you know the Crab Feast is now available on Spotify? It is, y'all. Spotify is making it easy for you to stream this podcast and many others like it on your mobile device, desktop app, and smart speaker. Open the app on mobile or desktop. Click on the Browse channel and then click on the podcast section. Take us with you wherever you go, thanks to Spotify. Again, you can find that Spotify link on thecrabfeast.com. You can also get your merch there. And make sure you guys are following the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter. Got some great sponsors this week, guys. Are you hiring? Posting your position to job sites and waiting for the right people to see it? ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/crab. That's ZipRecruiter.com/crab. ZipRecruiter.com/crab. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
And there's no way you're going to ever be hiring for a job if you don't get out there and get a website made for any business or idea that you're sitting around on. And that's why Squarespace is a great place to go to get your website up and running. If you have a cool idea, you want to show people your work, you want to blog, or just get your word out to the world, it's not like it's so affordable, it's ridiculous. Promote your own physical online business. Do whatever you want to do. I did it for my website. I felt like it needed a redo, and I was a little intimidated by what goes on out there. And you shouldn't be, because Squarespace brings in templates that are created by designers. So they're everything they give you is just boom, drop it in, and you make this easy, beautiful website. Right now, our listeners can go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code CRAB to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Go explore. Get yourself ready. Make sure you're, and honestly, whatever you're going to launch, make sure you're ready to do more after it. No need to launch when you're not ready for what's going to come after that. So get yourself ready, and when you are, squarespace.com, enter code CRAB.
Hair loss isn't just your dad's problem. It happens earlier in life than you think. By 35,
Dad! 2 out of 30.
My dad's hair is gone.
Mine too, man.
By 35, 2 out of 3 men will start losing their hair, but hair loss is actually easy to prevent if you get started early. Introducing Keeps, a new company offering a simple, clinically proven, affordable way to stop hair loss. With Keeps, it's easier than ever for guys like you to keep your hair. I have a good buddy who, he started losing his hair, man, 16, 17.
Tough call.
You know what I mean? Like, way, and he's tried everything out there under the sun to get that hair back. And I think Keeps is going to be the one, y'all.
Well, sometimes
Keeps is a keeper play.
I'll tell you right now, sometimes, and especially with these guys, it's not about what you can get back, but at least Keeps helps you prevent losing what you already have. You know what I mean?
Keeps is the easiest way to keep your hair. Keeps offers the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products clinically proven to keep the hair you have. Sign up in less than 5 minutes. Keeps is entirely online and only $10 to $35 a month, so it's $1 a day or less on average. This is half of what you typically pay at the pharmacy. Getting started with Keeps is so easy. You just answer a few questions and snap some photos. A licensed doctor remotely reviews your information and gives you the right prescription, all without ever leaving your couch. Within 2 to 3 days, a 3-month supply of your treatment will arrive perfectly packaged at your door. Stop hair loss today the easy way with Keeps, offering customized treatment plans with only FDA-approved hair loss products for about $1 a day from the comfort of your couch. To receive your first month of treatment for free, go to keeps.com/crab. That's KEEPS.com/crab. That's a free month of treatment at keeps.com/crab. Keeps, hair today, hair tomorrow.
I'll tell you who's here today.
Oh!
And the podcast will last for tomorrow and every day thereafter. We're excited to have him back on the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Mr. Brett Ernst!
Brett Ernst!
Welcome to the Crab
Feast. Welcome back to the Crab Feast.
Dude, thank you for having me, man. Two of my favorite people on the fucking planet. Seriously, man.
That's nice.
Jay knows I love him.
Good to have you here, B.
I know. I'm not going to bring it up again, but, you know, every time he gets a spot at the store, I get a residual.
Yeah, how much?
No.
I get $1, which is
a buck.
1% of
our main rooms, our OR spots.
Yeah, I was listening to your if you haven't heard Brett's first episode, go back and listen to that episode, because it's a really good delinquent episode. But you guys talked about was it Cheesecake Factory first and then Comedy Store?
Yeah, I met Brett Ernst the first week I was in Los Angeles, and I didn't even know I was going to do stand-up comedy. You know what I mean?
I forgot, he just came out
of the kitchen like a fucking Michelangelo sculpture.
I really forgot you worked there with me, man. I don't know why.
I mean, well, I was
I don't associate you with
I only trained there for 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
Oh, then you got sent out to
Brentwood. But they had all of us trained over there, because they had the downstairs over at Marina Del Rey during the day, which wasn't open in there. And so we trained there.
Dude, I have one of the best Cheesecake Factory stories.
Go
ahead.
I want you to, but I want you to promote this your stuff real quick. I'll write down Cheesecake story. We'll come back to that.
It's just some idiot on the patio, because it just, I forget.
Cheesecake Factory is a proud sponsor of the craft.
Proud sponsor.
Are they really?
No.
Get the Santa Fe chicken pasta next time.
Do you know, really quick fact about the Cheesecake Factory?
Egg rolls are delicious, guy.
Avocado egg rolls, number one seller, next to spicy cashew chicken.
You know. I like that fucking shrimp. Navajo fucking bread
that
sandwich.
That was strong.
Woo!
Or this Caribbean skirt steak is
like
always
a
favorite.
I farfalla chicken pasta. I really do like the farfalla. I always got
the Caribbean steak when I got stiffed and I got a green card, a green ticket.
A green ticket.
Yeah, you get stiffed on your tips and then they're like, well, here, we'll buy you lunch. It's like, I had like I mean, I was always getting stiff because it was the fucking shithole location to work at. And I, like, I can't pay my rent with green tickets.
Right, yeah.
You know, here you go, buddy. All right, really quick. So
plug your social media, your special, podcast.
I just released my special online for free by choice. It's a little experiment. I think I talked to you about it. You were like, you think it's a great idea.
Possibly.
You did it as well, right?
I did, but I charged for
mine. You charged for mine. Yeah. And I was telling you I was thinking about doing it, and maybe you talked me into it to see if it's going to fail or not.
No, because you released yours after mine.
Oh, I did, right?
Yeah. I told you should sell it, and you said, no, I think I'm going to get it for free. And I'm like, all right.
No, you didn't tell me to sell it, did you? Maybe I was thinking of Tom Segura. Never mind. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Me and Segura had this conversation in the parking lot. I'm sorry, dude.
That's all right.
But yeah, so I released it for free online. You could go.
What's it called?
It's called Principal's Office. You go to brettcomedy.com, Brett, my name, comedy.com.
One T.
And just hit play. You don't even have to do anything. Now, if you want to leave your email, go ahead and leave your email. There's no tricks. And if you want to download it for $5, you can do that. But basically, just go there and watch it for free. And then also, another reason why I'm here is I just moved over to All Things Comedy with my podcast called You're On The List, which we're doing. And then I got a show coming out in April or May. We don't know when officially.
An ATC show?
No, it's the Karate Kid, the Cobra Kai show.
Yeah, tell them about it.
So
I'm stoked because I'm going to just tell you right now, I'm a big Karate Kid fan.
Yeah.
And in seventh grade, I played Daniel LaRusso in a Karate Kid play in my class.
Did you really?
I did. And here's what's crazy. I will never forget this. It's so fucking weird. I was the Karate Kid and seventh grade play. And it was like this.
Was this a seventh grade play or something your class was putting on?
It was a little class play.
Did you have how many performances?
It was in the classroom.
He's trying to sell it like he's in the drama club and shit.
Let me tell you something.
You did a fucking presentation.
It was a two-room. It was a divider, but
they
opened it.
Presentation.
He was cleaning chalkboards.
I had lines and everything.
He was cleaning the chalkboards.
I painted a fence.
Who played Mr. Miyagi?
You know what? I don't remember. We didn't have an Asian.
I just gave you a chance right there.
You didn't have an Asian.
Masaki Akita, dude. He played it.
I really wanted to remember. But anyway, it was this like... an abridged version of the movie.
I'm sure it was. How long are classes? 30
minutes?
It might
have been in the back of a highlights magazine or maybe Ranger Rick. But.
Yeah. How long was this class playing?
Everybody had a popular movie, man.
He went into the crane technique 2 minutes in.
They cleared the desks. Is it all county? All Valley County?
No, man. I got beat up on the sand and everything. I remember. Yeah. Sand. I had to
Did someone play Cruel Summer like a beatbox?
Girl sang over there. But anyway.
Just cut to three girls. It's a cruel, cruel summer.
At the end of that, for whatever reason, at the end of that play in that book, it had the show ended. Which the movie didn't. I'm trying to explain this right.
Wait, there's a book?
This play that it was in. Whoever wrote this fucking thing.
Did John Avildsen direct
the kid that sat next to you? That's who wrote it?
In the way back in a Ranger Rick magazine, this play ended when the opening scene of Karate Kid 2 that hadn't even been discussed or talked about.
In the parking
about.
Lot?
Yeah.
You guys wrote that before?
No, whoever sent this shit out into publication, I guess accidentally sent like a previous edit, and they used that former ending as the opening to Karate Kid 2, but years before.
Well, apparently that was supposed to end that way in the parking lot with a confrontation.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It did in the play I was in. It was a legit play.
It was not a legit.
It was legit. I had a gi.
Was there a fucking, was there a light guy? Was there a stage manager? Was there a stage manager? Or was there a teacher going, okay, boys, go ahead.
That's bullshit. There was a kid on the light switch, and there was definitely somebody that thought they were in charge.
There's a teacher going, guys, don't really hit each other.
When you look back on this,
did parents come in?
I don't remember.
They
didn't. Probably not.
They definitely didn't.
Dude, I plagiarized the fuck out of a play in like third, fourth grade.
Worse than this?
Way worse.
I didn't plagiarize.
Well, no, because they knew it was a Karate Kid. I saw my grandfather show me Harvey about the talking rabbit.
Uh-huh.
Right? You know, you
I don't know
that?
It, but no.
I've never seen
it. What's the guy's name? I think it was, come on, man. He was Zuzu's Petals.
Zuzu's Petals?
Go deep. A Christmas movie where the fucking he's going to kill himself.
Oh, Wonderful Life?
Wonderful Life. That guy. Jimmy Stewart.
Okay.
And he has this imaginary, this invisible rabbit. I think it's Jimmy Stewart that nobody can see. And then I wrote a play, like we submitted.
I haven't seen it.
And I fucking hacked the whole thing.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you get caught?
The teacher, no. She know. But whatever. We performed it.
That's what happened. I'm just thinking back on it. It was probably now that you look at, as an adult and you look back with an adult mind, it was probably some teacher was going through like a bad breakup or something. And every day of the week, it was a different play. You know what I mean? Like it was just some popular movie.
Dude, how strong?
Like a Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
How strong was that when you had the lazy teacher that just would show films?
The best.
That wasn't the best day ever.
Yes.
This thing. I love pushing it. The projector.
Yeah.
Here it is. Boom.
It was the best.
Remember, You Can Do It, Dusty Moon? Like some kid had.
How old are you inside?
Huh?
How old are you inside?
Like 27.
I'm still 26. He's 20. He is, but he's still way throwback. So he and his memory is pretty sharp.
Yeah, I remember everything.
Jump to the, let's go back.
Except
wait,
for
have names. Have you plugged your Twitter? Have you done all your?
No. Oh, so the Karate Kid, the Cobra Kai. That's what we're talking about. So that's coming out on YouTube Red, which I guess is making a strong play because they outbid Netflix for the show. So I don't know. I know they got that Google money behind it.
Yeah.
But I've been reading up on it now that I'm involved. And look up like YouTube TV. Did you notice it was like during the World Series and National Championship they were advertising? But I guess they're trying to compete with – I'm not good with the streaming stuff – with
Netflix,
other one.
Amazon,
No. The box, Sling.
Sling.
Oh, so YouTube TV is like trying to compete with Sling, and then YouTube Red is trying to compete with Netflix and them.
Mm-hmm.
But they've acquired a lot of properties, but the Karate Kid one is like, you know, I think they're gonna put a lot behind it. I know a lot of people have been fucking...
People are super stoked about it.
I am. I read it, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's the guys that did Hot Tub Time Machine and Harold and Kumar, directed and wrote it. It's kind of a comedy. And then, you know, Will Smith's production company executive produced it cause they own the rights to it, but it's really going to be dope. It's going to be dope. I think he had to buy him in order to do the next Karate Kid. Don't quote me on that. Remember he did the one with his kid?
Yeah.
So I think he owned it or bought it or licensed it. I don't know. Or still had the rights to it, but I know his production company's involved. So,
well, if they don't,
and that's the story.
If
so,
they don't get the Hillary Swank one, they're missing out. I'm just saying that's my favorite Karate Kid.
But yeah, so you can
Cheesecake
check it out.
Factory. Go back to our story.
Oh, wait, could check me out.
Oh, Jesus. This motherfucker's got 40 minutes of
the whole
fucking
episodes. Fucking...
Just get it out.
So
I got
listen,
a great memory,
go to my fan page on
my
Facebook.
My premium blend is trending.
I don't know if you guys just saw my This Isn't Happening. That came out March 2nd.
This Isn't Happening.
So anyways, my YouTube channel, make sure you turn the notifications on. Just whatever. Anyways, yeah.
Website,
so I'm working at the
Twitter.
Just go to brettcomedy.com.
B-R-E-T comedy.com. All
just
right.
One T. There.
Well, I own them with both because people just don't know how to spell.
Yeah. Well, but, no, there's two different versions. Well, so people do know how to spell.
Yeah, but I'm saying if they put two T's in, I'm tired of saying one T.
Yeah.
So people usually put two T's in, and but it's Brett Comedy. Me, BrettComedy.com. Anyways,
you're
get back to
such
Cheesecake.
A fucking Brett, isn't he? Such
he
a
is
Brett.
A Brett.
I look well. All right. So we're waiting tables on the patio, which Jay could tell you, and it's right on the marina, right? So I don't know if it was the Cheesecake Factory or another place that we had a lot of pigeons that would land. So somebody was poisoning the pigeons.
Really?
Yeah.
Like an employee?
I don't know. I don't know who it was. It could have been. I'm not going to say who. I don't know. But there was, because there's a bunch of businesses there and homes there.
Yeah.
So for some reason that somebody was poisoning the pigeons.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't know who it was. It
could just, be homeless to eat them.
Well, they was like, I guess they were feeding them poison or somebody. Could have been one of the condos over there, one of the businesses. I don't know. Anyways, we just know that every time somebody would be eating on a patio, a fucking pigeon would just fall out of the sky and land, right?
Yeah. Just drop dead.
Just fucking fly down. So now, you know, and I was a sucky waiter.
Someone got a dulce de leche cheesecake.
A fucking pigeon. Just... Now, if you were on the upper deck, it had this hockey glass that overlooked the marina.
Plexiglass?
Yeah.
Around.
Well, you know, like a wall.
Like a wall,
a fence.
So you can't fall over. Right. But if you're sitting down, like if you're standing up, it's like maybe chest height, right? But if you're sitting down, you know.
Yeah.
So this guy comes in, right? And he was like this fucking, you ever see like those white dudes that like embrace cultures that have nothing, like he was like a white Asian guy, like you know what I mean, like you could tell
he wore gi everywhere.
It was like this weird, he had on a shirt or whatever, but it was like you could just tell, like he was, because he greeted me like, you know,
you bow,
you know, you bow and shit, and I'm like, whatever, Phil, you know.
A gong and, sound effect behind it. Like,
whatever, Bob. You know, he's like just white as white can be. So, and this is a little side story to this story. So he was just like one of those guys, and he was sitting at another table. Now, the irony is there was an Asian couple, an Asian table next to us, right? So he comes in, he fucking bows. And I start running the specials. And I was one of those guys where, like, I'm not doing, I'm, you know, were you like this? Where I'm like, what do you guys, who had this? Uh-huh. I got another table. I'm yeah, slammed. Right. So I run over and I said, hey, man, I go really quick. I got another table. Let me run the specials with you. Right. So I says, we have an Asian ahi. Remember the Asian ahi served in a soy ginger sauce, comes uh-huh. with Asian vegetables. I'm not even kidding you, man. He stopped me. No exaggeration. And he was confused, not offended, but confused, like trying to make me look like an asshole in front of his people on what an Asian vegetable was. I swear to God on my life.
You're like bok choy.
Yeah, well, I'm like, you know, whatever, man. Watercress, snow peas, whatever comes with it. So he's like, you know, I just think that's funny how, you know, people like, you know, like we get it. You've been to Asia, whatever, yeah. right? Then I made a joke. I said, I said, I'm sorry. Those are the vegetables that are better educated and working harder and taking all the other vegetables jobs. And then he looked at me like I was a dick, but the Asian table started laughing.
Oh, good.
And, yeah. then the dude goes to him. He goes, get it. It's really good. You know, like the Asian guy.
Like trying to also be like, dude, dial it yeah, back here. Like, relax, it's no big deal. Right.
Phil.
Yeah.
So here, this is the funny part.
Get your...
So he's like one of those guys that like goes to
get
yoga.
Get your kimono you know, off, motherfucker.
That goes to yoga, tries to meditate or whatever, enlightened. So now we're sitting there eating, and this fucking pigeon just fucking nosedives.
But you're – okay, yeah.
I'm working.
Yeah.
So the pigeon nosedives, and when it happened, it was great. My buddy Micah, who now works at the Beverly Hills.
Like a pigeon just had a cardiac
Dude,
arrest
they used to
and it's just
fly
coming
down.
Yeah.
So then we're like, oh, shit. I used to die laughing because it was so cool, right? I mean, it was so hilarious because people be like, ah, you know?
Yeah.
So the pigeon fucking lands, and it's like – doing the curly shuffle in a circle, like it's all fucked up,
oh
but it's still
God.
Alive.
Where'd it land?
It just on the wood.
Just crack.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Because we're outside. Fucking Phil gets up, the Buddhist, and he goes over and he's like, I got this, right? Like he's magical.
Also, like anyone else is running over
to save this pigeon.
And I'm like, it's a flying rat. You know?
Yeah.
That's exactly what
so,
it is.
So,
I got this guy.
Yeah, no, everybody relax. And he comes over.
I'm still eating my farfall.
Right? And he picks the bird up and he starts like he's whispering to it, right? This is how fucking crazy people are out here. And he's petting a fucking bird. And I'm going to my boy Micah. I don't know if you remember him, the ball kid. He was like that. And I go, dude, look at this, right? And he's like, and he walks over and he goes, fly. And he throws the pigeon in the air and the fucking pigeon's flying. And
no.
Everybody's like, ooh, right? Then it does a fucking U-turn and just smacks it to the glass.
It hits the plexiglass.
Yeah, and then on cue, you heard like a little girl cry. You know, like scream. Oh, it was so beautiful.
That's
I'm like,
amazing.
You're a fucking jerk. Like you could talk to animals, asshole. Dude, that shit was, I mean, great. To this day, we don't even know who was poisoning the fucking pigeons. But they just drop out of the sky all the time. But yeah, it's like you're such an asshole that you really think that people like what do you who do you think you are, crazy person that got offended over Asian vegetables, white guy.
We have
no pigment. He looked like the dude from Powder.
Oh my God! He didn't know about the poison. Man, he just thought this guy had a bad day, and he was like, "Oh, watch this shit."
Well, he just yeah.
right. You knew it was poison.
We didn't know until later on. I think it was like somebody because there's like,
but there was clearly an epidemic happening.
There's something happening.
They're just falling out of the fucking sky.
We were like, maybe there's something in the bay, you know, in the marina yeah. that they're drinking.
Oh man.
This is a great Wiz. Underrated.
You like that?
Come on in. He's on down. He's on down.
On the road. What was the song? You remember the Brett Ernst classic joke? Oh, God, I wish I could remember the song.
Coaster he's holding is what he's talking
about. Yeah, but Brett Ernst does that joke. You remember back in the day where you're driving in traffic and you get in a fight with the guy?
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're like, you want to fucking go, dude? And then all of a sudden, if you leave me now. He's like, what's that, the coast, dude? And they like can't get in a fight. Anytime I hear that song, I think of Brett Ernst.
That's a somewhat true story. I mean, it was not exact. It's just, you know, better for stage. But in real life, I was driving with my mom. And my mom was pretty young looking. And these dudes started looking at my mom and making comments. And, you know, and first of all, if they even thought it was my regardless of it just being my mom, if it was my girl or my sister, it's still disrespectful no matter what. So I told him, you know, fucking calm down. But we were listening to Barry Manilow. And then that was where they heard it. They're like, it's on, like fucking Mandy's blaring. And my mom, you know, I don't know. You ever get in a confrontation or have somebody step to you when you're with your girl or like your mother? It's so much harder than if, you know, you're with your friends, obviously, because you're so nervous about everything, you know. But then the other story was I was getting into it and that song was on. And I was, you know, my brother was like, you know, how are you going to fucking defend yourself? But that window wasn't down for that song. So yeah. I just combined the stories. But which I do. I don't know if you do that in stand-up.
Of course, yeah.
Stories. Everything's based in truth, but you can't be it's too confusing if you know what I mean? So yeah, you just consolidate.
Well, lie some more. We have a bunch of stuff to talk
sure,
about.
Sure. I'll lie all day. The pigeon thing never happened.
You gave me.
It was that Burger King.
You gave us a list of stuff here. I definitely want to hear. Well, so if you listen to Brett's first episode, you had a lot of delinquent stories.
Yeah.
But one.
Wait, can I ask you a question, though? Yeah. Don't you feel kids back then, especially on the East Coast, I mean, it was always something going on. But don't you think most kids in our age range back then was always doing something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know anybody that wasn't.
Something like what?
Enough to get in a little bit of trouble. Yeah. I wouldn't say.
Always. But we were always
arrested.
Doing.
For sure.
Yeah. We were just always. I mean, I never got arrested when I was a kid. I also never got in fights. But there were fights around, you know, and we'd set up fights and people would fight and shit like that. But I just think kids were more outdoors and adventuring. You know what I mean? They're
more
adventurous.
Mischief, though.
Yeah, I had a friend.
Yeah, you had to find it because you can go find everything you want online. What's mm-hmm. the point of, you know?
This guy, I mean, just a quick story. Like, when the Grateful Dead would come to town, that's when we would just go to the parking lot, get the drugs, and, you know, whatever you were going to do, that's where people go. I was never anything more than, even back then, I wasn't even weed. I didn't smoke weed till I was 21. But I would go because it was just such an event, and it was a really interesting thing to see. But my friends would get opium and all this other shit. Well, we're at one night, we're at an elementary school, and we're all just kicking it on the swings, old school style. Everybody's sitting around, but we have beer. You're not supposed to have beer on school property, but it's like a summer night.
Makes sense.
It's like midnight. You know what I mean? Like, you're not supposed to have.
Really? Because we were supposed to have it,
dude. Fucking uptight Maryland.
I never heard of this before. Go ahead.
And a cop pulls in the parking lot. Most likely, he's not going to do anything but tell us, like, you're 18. Get the fuck out of here or whatever. But one of our friends had, remember the Volkswagen had that thing? It was called the thing.
Yeah.
It looked like a Nazi officer car. That's really what it was built after. But
why does that sound familiar? I got to Google that later.
As soon as you see it, you'll be like, oh, that fucking
thing. It looks like a
thing.
Volkswagen Gremlin, right?
Yeah, it's like a wannabe like truck, but it's not. You know, it's a small little thing. It's a thing. As soon as you see it, like, oh, that fucking thing.
Oh, that fucking it's like that guy.
But he hauled ass. And luckily for us, he did, because as soon as he left, the cop went right after him. We all walked back to our cars. I'm like, oh, just go ahead and get out of here casually. And he ran through neighborhoods and yards and shit like that.
Wait,
and
he abandoned the thing?
No, he left us because we didn't know it. But
he was just running?
He was holding, right?
Yeah, he had opium. He had everything in his car.
Yeah,
and he was
like
scared
fucking
that
20
the cop
years.
Was going to come. And, and they caught him anyway.
Yeah.
They caught him anyway with it.
Ah,
they
shit.
Caught him anyway with it. He parked at his own house.
On my last...
sorry, he tried to hide.
With a unique car.
No
like
one's
that.
Ever going to spot that ride.
On the last... On our podcast, which is not a gratuitous plug, you're on the list. Not this episode. This episode we did, because we like to list things, we did the top 10 Jacksons of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Not just people. Yeah. There's so many people named Jacksons. The last one we did, top 10 things kids don't do anymore. Right?
Yeah.
And one of them... Just reminded me with the thing was getting hit by cars.
Yeah.
Like, how many people did you know growing up get hit by cars? Everybody did, right?
Not a lot. I mean, I've told it a million times. My cousin got hit a bunch, and then my mom ran over a kid.
my mom hit it.
I mean, it's not. Did the kid live?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
We were on our way. I grew up in Maryland. We were on our way to Hanover, Pennsylvania. Had a bunch of outlets and shit up there. And we're driving this beige Ford Escort. My mom's driving. Her girlfriend's in the front.
That boxy old Escort?
And there's it was like round. You know what I mean?
What year? Like a 94, 93?
No, hell no. It's like an 84, right?
In the 80s, yeah. Somewhere.
That was my first car. 84 Ford Escort L.
Something like that. It didn't even have like a pinstripe. It was just like blue or tan. You know what I mean? It was just that color. And we're driving, and the kids are in the back, too. And this little boy, we're going, like, let's say we're going north. This little boy runs out of this laundromat where his mom is, and he looks the direction we're going. He looks to his right. We're coming this way. Never bothers to turn and look toward us. And he stepped out in the street. Man. Dude, his head hit the fucking fender. He went under the fucking tire. Oh, dude. He got hit, man. And then
What? Can I just say something? And that's his fault.
Listen, I'll tell you. And I just remember looking out the back window. This kid's crawling like back to the curb. His mom saw the whole thing. And she, you know, my mom even got out. My mom was not the nicest person back then. My mom even got out to help this kid because his mom saw it, and she was trying to beat his ass for that exact thing. She's like, I watched, you didn't look both ways, and he didn't. He only looked that one way, but he broke his arm, and I think he had a little bit of a concussion, but he was fine.
Got
hit by Ford.
My buddy Jordan, bro. You know Jordan,
yeah,
he got run over when he was 5 and was in a full body cast.
See, that the little the toddler ones are awful. If you get hit by a car at like 12, you know, that's on you.
Yeah
You know, you're playing in the streets, you know where to go.
I had a friend that lived on a house that had a driveway that went
He lived
like
on top of the house?
On a hill, I should say.
I mean, did he even know anyone inside?
Yeah, the house on a hill. And the driveway went, I mean, wicked, straight down. Main thoroughfare down here, two-lane road. And then another house directly on the opposite side that had a driveway that went up. So a clean, straight across, right?
Right.
And we would put people out in the street down.
Yeah, you get the cars like the construction crew.
And you could do the suicide run, you know? Well, his mom told us years later, we didn't know this, but he had done it one day by himself. He took his bike and he just did a suicide run, and he got crushed by a car, and he was thrown so far that his shoes came off. I think he might have shit himself for real. Like,
was he hurt?
Yeah, he was fucked up. And she never told his dad that, but he did. He's lucky. He almost died. On the same hill, I told this story too, but you'll appreciate this mention of this car. His sister had, at the time, just bought a brand new Chevy Beretta. Remember when the Beretta came out?
Yeah.
Like, that was a hot ride.
Love the Beretta.
Like that, right? She had a maroon one. She's slowly backing down the steep-ass driveway. She just started driving. He's on his riding mower tractor, and I'm in the metal cart that's connected to the back of him. We're just tooling around the yard. Well, he starts acting like he's going to, you know, go forward and ram his sister while she's panicking to go down this driveway. And we just heard this. It sounded just like this. Ping. And he looked back and he said, hold on. I said, oh, my man. She punched that fucking thing right out in the street. We were hauling ass down that driveway. And I thought we were going to die because we had to turn. If we don't turn, we're going out into traffic and it's busy as shit. And we turn. I think we're going to flip. I fucking stood up. I tried to keep it down. We kept it down. Stayed in the fucking grass, the shoulder, and I mean just...
Went to the drive-thru McDonald's.
Drifted down that hill so far, just right. Adrenaline
what
pumping.
What was the ping?
The fucking brake gave out, the cable snapped, and it went into neutral, gears just gone, and there was no braking, no nothing.
Dude, when I was a freshman in high school, okay, I was a sophomore. One of my best friends who was a freshman, this kid, everybody's remaining nameless. I was raised by a single mom. He had a dad, but he was raised by a single father, right? But his dad was always working and shit, you know? Which, by the way, that's the difference between being raised by a single mom and a single dad. Like, a single mom, if there's a problem, everybody's going to know. You know, how are we going to pay the bills? They're crying all the fucking time. But I could come home.
Slow down. My mom was a single mom.
So was mine. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, you're saying they're crying all the time.
They're very emotional. They share everything.
Sure, they will definitely share everything.
Yeah, they share everything.
Totally agreed on that.
But then you come home and, I'd have dinner for me and stuff. If you're raised by a single father, like, he never heard. There's a problem, nobody's going to know it. But then he would come home, there'd be a note like, yo, there's a steak in the freezer.
Yeah.
Like, defrost it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
because he was always traveling. Long story boring, he used to, so since his dad was out of town, my buddy, he used to drive. He was only 14, right? And we used to fucking take the car at night on the weekends and just go driving out every night. And I mean, we did everything. Shoot out fucking window. We'd pull up on people with BB guns and be like, hey, you know? Because just imagine being in middle school but having transportation. Right?
This is in Jersey?
No, this is Florida.
Florida.
This is Florida. This is my,
shot
this
dead
is my
today, you
freshman,
do that.
My freshman year in high school, sophomore year. So we used to drive around and we used to have a pole out of the top. Because this other kid we had, this other friend of ours was driving. He failed. He was in the same grade of us, but he was like 17.
Yeah.
Right? And this kid was nuts, man. There's a separate story. But anyways, so we would drive. We would hit the stoplights. We had this big pole.
Out of top of what? A Jeep or something?
No. There was a station wagon. We would take out a station wagon. And my other friend had a it was like, I forgot the car. I should text, but it had a Windsor, 351 Windsor in it, engine with a shift kit.
Really?
I don't remember. Yeah. Anyways, I don't know why I remember that.
Like a duster or something?
I forgot what the fuck car it
was.
It'll come
that?
To me. So we used to hit the fucking street lamps and try and knock shit down. We were shooting out cop, like we go to the police station.
My
what?
God.
Fuck.
With the guns and break windows and like try and shoot the lights and everything. And, so my friend that was 14 one time, he picked us up. Well, and again, just imagine, we're still kids. It's like
14.
Being in middle school.
Yeah.
So we go taking the station wagon out and we're out all night, right? It's like 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning.
Now, is your mom working nights or like
my
how
mom
are
was
you
sleeping? She would work, but she was sleeping. We would, you know, you do the whole thing.
You sneak out?
Yeah, you just
or
sneak
you spending
out.
A night over and then you sneak out there.
Both of those, yeah. You know? So we're speeding down this fucking road. Right? 14.
And did your buddy turn out to be like, was he a good driver at this point?
We thought we were, but we were going down, we were going down on one way. All right? So this
good
is,
driver, just not very observant.
Yeah.
That's all.
So we're fucking, I mean, honestly, bro, we were going as fast as we could. And, you know, like there's the two.
How
lanes.
Many kids are in the car at this point?
Seven.
Jeez, yeah. That's how we used to do it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
seven
yeah.
of us. And then we're going and we just see this fucking head. The headlights coming.
Mm-mm.
And there's no way to get off. And I'm like, holy shit, we're going down the wrong way. And then they stopped and we just swerved off the road and just, I mean, this kid was fucking turning with the fishtail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're all like, ah, we're screaming. And he just fucking turned it and like drifted. Never drove like this before. It was amazing.
Like all
I'll text
calm
him after
and everything.
The show.
All
yeah.
calm and everything.
Everything.
Just brought.
And then and then we were just sitting there. He goes, I started crying, but like I wasn't crying. I was tearing up.
Yeah.
And we were all just sitting there, and he's like, dude, and that's we're not taking this car.
That's it. Yeah. No more.
We're done. My buddy was like, that's awesome. This motherfucker used to take, there was this kid that we were friends with that lived in like a cul-de-sac in a circular driveway. And we would just keep going around and around and around.
In the car.
Like, yeah. You know, we thought it was funny honking the horn.
Yeah.
And his mom would come out and, and we would just keep going. They were throwing shit. He's like, you know, I mean, it was just obnoxious. It was like for 20 minutes.
That was before you had your license or when you had it?
I didn't have my license.
Oh, okay.
Neither did my buddy. I'll show you who he is afterwards, though. He's kind of, he's in the public eye, kind of. I'll show you who he is okay. afterwards.
Well,
but he,
go ahead.
That kid, no, I'm sorry. That kid, I mean, he would drive to school and shit.
Drive to school? And no one would say anything about that?
We had an open campus and like we had like, I don't know how you guys' high school was. So like you could leave for lunch. But there were stickers that kids would, you know, you would have on the car that
yeah,
you were able
to
park in the campus. And then there were kids that didn't, that was old enough to drive that didn't have cars, you know, so they would like, if they were able to apply for it, then you can do it that way.
Gotcha.
You know, but he would put it in the, he was just fucking 14 driving. Because his dad was always out of town. We'd have parties at this kid's house all the time, all the fucking time.
It's crazy.
I'm glad he figured it out, though.
Oh, he well more than figured it out.
Well, you said you were raised by a single mom, but you told us
before. Yeah, apparently I offended Jay. I'm sorry.
No.
You told us before that your mom called the cops on you. What the fuck's that all about?
That was an accident.
She accidentally called the cops?
Well, basically, I kind of actually gave the reveal.
Oh, that's the reveal. Way to go.
Well, I was working in town. No, it's my fault. I should have told you differently.
I mean, he didn't take responsibility for the mistake.
Hey, you know what, though? You should have. You should have. It's like, look, I know you paid last time. I know you paid last time. It's my turn to pay. At least reach in your pocket like you're going to pay so I can go, fault. But you didn't even reach in the pocket.
I didn't know.
No, I had a bunch of shit going on. I think I talked about this last time, but I was one of those losers that went away to community college. So when I was up, in Tallahassee.
I didn't even know you could do that.
I thought I was doing something with my life. I was just fucking washing dishes at Hooters and bouncing at clubs, and I had a whole other side businesses going.
Yeah,
with a couple of my friends that moved up there too. Right. So I mean, we had a bunch of shit going on. So I was working doubles, and then the nights that I wasn't working doubles, I was bouncing at this club because I'm only like 19, 20. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So long story boring, I'm at the, and I had worked like 4 or 5 days in a row. So I'm at the club and I hear on my walkie talkie, my buddy was like, yo dude, there's like two cops here looking for you. Then I'm like, fuck, right? And I'm going through my head and I'm like, cause there's numerous things it could be.
Right, yeah,
you know what I mean? without getting into details. So I'm like, fuck man. So I'm thinking and not that I'm panicking, but I'm like, all right, let me get out of here. You know what I mean? Because I don't know what's going to happen. Right. And I don't know what I was thinking. So I go out the side door and as I'm walking towards my car, I hear this guy go, hey, hey. And I turn around. I'm like, what's up? And he's like, are you Brett?
You're like, fucking look at me.
I go, yeah, I'm a goddamn Brett. Yeah. Why? What's up? Like, you know, and he's like, where are you going? I'm like, I was going to my car to get a dip, you know, to put a lip in. And he's staring at me. He's like, come here. And I go, what? And he starts asking me questions. Where were you going? He looked like you were running. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? How can I run? I'm at work. Meanwhile, I'm like, yeah, where was I going? I had no idea. I was nervous. I mean, where am I going to go? They're going to know.
And is he a detective or is he a cop?
He's just a cop, regular cop.
Badge and everything? Or dress
full
like
uniform. I'll tell you, there's more to him later. Right. So he, anyway, long story boring, I'm in the office. They're asking me questions.
At the club.
They're downstairs. And now I'm like, what the fuck are these guys? They don't even know why they're here.
Upstairs, it's like spring love.
there's a club. If you ever went,
that's a
great song,
bit.
Stevie B. Dog.
Yeah, that's a Stevie B.
If you lived in Tallahassee, there's a club called the Moon, and this is where I worked. And Wednesday night was Florida A&M, which was like Black Night, Urban Night. Friday night was Redneck Night, and Saturday night was like spring love, different type of club music at that time, right? This was Stetson on the Moon. It was Friday night, so it was Redneck Night, okay? Which, by the way, at Redneck Night, you'd have 6-7 fights a night.
I'm sure.
I bet you there were more fights that night than any night.
Any night. On Black Night, you'd have no problems, but when you did, we had to shut the whole fucking place down. You know, it's like when a nuclear power plant fucking melts. Like, you know, there's never a problem, but when there is, it's fucking...
It's big.
It's big. So the Redneck Night was going on. They had me downstairs, and they're just asking me questions and questions and questions. And as they're asking me questions, I'm like, they don't even know why the fuck they're here, right? So finally I said to him, my boss was there. I says, yo, what the – and he looked at me, and I go, what do you guys want? And they're staring at me, and they're like, your mom has been calling the station because I had worked so much I didn't call her, right? And this is before fucking cell phones, any of that shit.
Guys.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, your mom's been calling and she was wondering if you were okay. And she keeps calling the station. I don't know if, because I was working doubles. Like,
and she
I was
sounded off because she said you went away to community college. We're like, there's no way that's possible. You
but she was like, I'm worried about my son. Can you go check on him? Like a fucking maniac. And then I'm just thinking like, holy shit. Like there was a number of things that.
Right. Yeah. It could have been.
I could have got myself because I started running. I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know? Then it was like, make sure you call your mom. Long story boring. We used to sell speakers out of a van, right? I don't know if you ever saw those guys.
Man, let me
in
tell
Hollywood,
you. A bunch
Are
of
they
times.
Here?
When I first moved here, I got approached like 3 times at gas stations.
Yeah, that's what we would do.
Dude, I was putting in these home entertainment systems. We had all this extra stuff.
The fucking loot. Yeah. You had to fake the drop sheet, everything. You know what the key is behind that scam?
So many times.
Well, those speakers are not stolen. They're paid for.
Okay.
So this is crazy if you can understand this. The key behind that scam is to try and look legit, but make you think we're trying to look legit because they're stolen when they actually are legit. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so we want you.
Where are you getting them? Just discount?
There was a place out here in California where they used to deliver them.
So what's the scam?
It's no scam. I mean, they're just shitty speakers. Them? Yeah, they're just shitty speakers.
Okay.
Like, so we would pay like $100 for them and sell them for like $300.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So it was like a retail thing. Even less than that. I think it was like $50 a speaker.
But it was always a van. They always rolled around and creepy, opening the door.
Suncoast
and shit.
Was
yeah.
like some of the names. I forgot the names that we had on the shirts. My friend used to fucking, my buddy hooked me up with that. But then you have the drop sheet. You have like, look, we used to sell them to frat kids, like rich white kids. You know, yeah. You'd be like, look, we were delivering this over to this nightclub. And, you know, now me personally, I wasn't involved in the van pitch a lot because I knew everybody. Like, people would see me again.
Yeah.
So these were my friends that would come down from Lauderdale, right, and come up. Anyways, long story boring, I got to go to work. So am I telling too many stories?
No, this is what we want.
Okay. So
just give me the van.
So I'm going to wash dishes at Hooters, and I'm late. Right?
What? An audition? Is that what
you're saying? No, I was washing dishes. Like, so my friends, my car, I didn't have a car. It was fucked up. And I'm like, dude, and like, yo, you mind if we take you to work? I said, you mind if you take me to work? And they're like, yeah, no problem. They said, but look, we got to drop. This guy ordered like 10 more sets of speakers and we're going to drop them off. So I'm like, all right, you know, but then I'm thinking, who the fuck is ordering this? And I go to them. I go, dude, this don't sound right. Right. So we pull up in the van. This dude in a Lamborghini pulls in. Italian kid. Next thing you know, woo, 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 woo. Fucking. And I got to get to work.
Here they come again.
So I'm in my Hooters shirt.
Your mom's all like, Brett! Pick up the phone!
Long story boring, this kid that they sold the fucking speakers to, his, you know, I don't know who they were connected to at the time, because this was only in Tallahassee. I didn't expect this shit. So the cops were running in to see if they were stolen. They came back clean, but they kept us there and they took a Polaroid. You know, we all got Polaroided just in case for their files. So long story boring, coming back full circle to when I ran, the cop that was there, I ended up becoming friends with, right?
Cause
I would always see, yeah, I would always see him. And then he came to me one day and he's like, I knew you looked familiar. And he busted out the fucking Polaroid.
Nice. Cause
he was at that bust.
Amazing.
Dude, my friends were so fucked up that they
were up in Tallahassee.
Yeah, well, they were all from South Florida, but they didn't go to school. They would just come up there every once in a while. They would stop at like Orlando, Tampa, you know. This one friend of mine, we used to throw him in the trunk, right, and drive around until he would drink a whole bottle of tequila.
Oh.
And then when he would bang on the trunk is when we were ready to roll. And he was one of those guys. That just
a hell of a pregame fucking,
to fight or to steal or what?
No, he wasn't. He was a tough kid, but he wasn't a fighter. He was more like, you know, like a
hustler,
like a guy from Jackass.
Yeah,
gotcha. Like that type of guy that would just do some crazy shit.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Like him and another friend of mine had a bet who could go to jail first. Like that dumb type of shit.
That's great.
So he was. So I don't want to use names, but my buddy was peeing in front of. He was peeing one time in front of a cop, right? And guy's like, yeah, you
on
know,
purpose to go
on
to
purpose.
Jail.
He's okay. Like, hey, and he's showing him, right? And then my other friend went and he threw. these stories are just coming to me. He threw a bottle
at the cop, though.
And I
to
mean,
beat him.
Dude, they beat the fuck out of this guy.
I bet they did.
But, you know, they didn't arrest him, though, because they were sitting there. I mean, they fucked him up. Can I just say one thing?
That is unbelievable. He didn't even win.
Back in the day, and you could probably vouch for this, you wanted the cops to smack you around, because if you got your ass kicked, you weren't going to get processed. You know
I can't
I mean?
Vouch for that because my whole goal was to get away with as much as possible without ever having to see the police.
Well,
that's when the getting away.
Well,
with
I'm saying
is
that's
over
that's
with.
What criminals do.
Yeah.
But I'm saying in general, even when you got caught, I've been
oh,
caught
sure,
a few
the,
times.
Yes.
If you're sitting there and they're processing you or they're talking to you, they're trying to figure things out, and if they don't have anything or that they might, you know, it's good to get tuned up. Because mm-hmm. they'll just, you know, smack you around a little bit and say, hey,
then let you
get
go.
The fuck out of here, kid. Yeah. you know, and I'm like, I'd rather do that than have to go to juvie or, you know, have to worry about that type of stuff. Cause you know, you always get caught up with stupid friends, but those two guys never had nothing. They were just goofy. They were like the guys in Jackass. That's exactly how I could describe it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah,
that they would sense. Like they're he tough, took his clothes off one time and in the club and just started dancing around naked and then just got the fuck and they the bouncers the bouncers rained on this dude. But he was older than me. Yeah. So like he was more like because you know how like guys in the 80s were all into the pranks,
yeah,
like Porky's and that type of shit. You know, they were
and
all
then fucking Jerky Boys came out.
But you know what I mean, right? Like doing some crazy shit just for the story of doing crazy shit. And they were older than me, so they were like 4 years older than me. But I, when I was a young kid, I used to take them like credit card numbers.
Really?
Yeah, because they used to have the slips. You know, I was like 14, 15, where you would take the carbons and then they had the numbers. And then you could go. There was a guy that I used to meet at the bowling alley as kids that I would always take. And he'd give me like $20 for like
a stack
fucking
of slips.
A stack of fucking carbons. And then they would, I didn't know how they made them, but then they had a plastic maker and they could make the cards.
That's how they
Because remember with that thing?
Yeah.
The carbon thing? That's why they used to tell you to rip the carbon up. But I was just a kid. I was like, I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I didn't know I was driving stolen cars until I figured it out either. You know, well, you I don't was think like, why are anything? The keys always in these cars at the fucking Kmart? I couldn't get.
Why somebody would send you to take the cars?
I used to work for a junkyard back in the day, and my friend's
for
dad
insurance,
owned
right?
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And people would dump them there. It would disappear, and then they'd file insurance and get money. But I was 16. I didn't give a fuck. I was just, come on, we're going to drive this car back. I need you to drive it. I wasn't asking any questions. You know, like I was stoked. But then after like the third one, I was like, it's so weird. The keys are always in me. And then it dawned on me. I was like, oh, I know what's going on. I got it now.
Yeah, like I said, as a kid, I just thought it was cool. I didn't realize until I was an adult that that's like, yeah, that shit's fucking. My wife says that to me too. She goes, you know, you kind of wear it. You brag about it, like it's, but I'm like, it's still a part of my childhood.
Yeah, of course.
Just like you going on family vacations.
Just well, like, you talk about your Guido days. I want to hear it. You said you used to just go out with a vest on.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up. No shirt?
No shirt.
Come on.
Just fucking. Well,
but when you say go out, just clubbing, or would you wear that to like the mall?
No, just clubbing.
Okay.
Dude, our preparation to go out was fucking tremendous.
Yeah, walk us through it.
First off, you know, during the day, like if we knew we were going out that night, all right, go to the mall, get a new scent. I used to like
scent.
I used to love Acqua Di Gio was a strong one.
Yeah,
I wasn't a fan of Jupe. My little brother used to wear Jupe. I rocked.
Is that
it a
how you
times.
Said? I never really knew how to say.
I don't
part.
Know. I don't fucking. I think it's French. It part of my French.
Jupe.
Whatever the fuck it was called.
Probably with a Y.
Fahrenheit was dope.
Yeah, I remember Fahrenheit.
Izzy Miyake was fucking dope.
Polo, yeah, that's Jakar.
Izzy Miyake was fucking. Jakar was like a middle school club.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That was like a starter one.
Tuscany was the one out there.
What was the one with the Vina de Milo, the bus with no arms? Gaultier.
I don't remember that. You were way deeper in
no,
it.
No, it's
than
like
me.
Blue. It's like a
yeah,
bus.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the name of it, though.
It's Gaultier or.
I have no idea.
I didn't
idea.
Mean you to cut you off.
What a song. What was it?
Nothing. I don't want to leave.
I wore Calvin. That's what I wore straight up.
See,
Calvin? No, just Calvin.
Fucking
that was obsession in polo.
Nice.
Yeah, polo was a
I was
shit.
Never
man.
Jacquard.
The green one, but polo yeah, sport was one. Dope too. But the green one, that's green an official. One. That's an official starter one.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we
hold on. I also had Adidas cologne, and I would that was like for like we had indoor soccer Saturday nights in eighth grade, and like we'd have like midnight games and stuff. So I would keep Adidas cologne in there so I could put cologne on before or after games. And one time I had that like my soccer bag at school, and the bottle smashed. In my bag. And I remember saying to him, like, dude, who is wearing
where's
this
the,
much cologne?
Where's the Persian carry kid?
when I handed in my, like, history book, the entire thing bent like a year. It made a rainbow.
Smelled amazing, though.
Smelled fantastic.
Fantastic.
Adidas.
Man. Adidas was, like, the kind of cologne, like, the cheap one that, like, you got from, like, my grandmother always used to get Avon. Remember that shit? But there would be, like, the little boy cologne that.
Yeah.
Musk.
Yeah, totally.
Shit. Spiced musk, whatever it was. I'm surprised. You know, we used to have a night gym where they would lock you in at night, which I guess was your night soccer.
Like a lock-in.
This is a league. We played like a league.
Did you have night gym? It was like to keep kids off the streets.
Yeah.
But then you're locked in the gym with the worst kids off the streets.
Yeah, right. You're right.
Kids are getting robbed under the bleachers. It was horrible. Nobody even came anymore. It wasn't safe. Yeah.
We just had league. Like you had like eight. Either you had the 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12 o'clock game. You know what I mean? It was like...
That sounds like fun.
That was the best.
That's what we did.
We were talking about that on the podcast, too, about the overnight skate. Did you have that when they would lock you in the rink? That was
fun. We would do overnight. And we also would do like
you can't do that now.
All night? No. I remember doing... it was something for like the American Heart Association. And every lap you did was like... I don't know.
In the rink?
Yeah, if it was a penny or what it was.
It sounds
or
like a telethon.
Maybe it wasn't
it
every lap.
It sound like something that's going on every
it was like every hour you did.
Kids fucking got
but you would
kids
be,
got blisters.
You
dying.
Know you would, dude.
They made a dollar.
It's like the play he put on. It's like the play they did right here.
Your feet would be fucked up. But you could go. It was open 24 hours to go if you wanted to go. Yeah, you could go all night.
That's dope. All right, so we would clone up. You know, we'd get a new scent if I was out. We'd go to the mall during the day. Me and my buddy would just go shopping, get some fucking Italian superhero shirt. It was like Lycra.
But why? You're not wearing
Lycra.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, well, dude, exactly. When I was ripped, man, I was all I did. Dude, we would fucking, this is bad. We would do curls before we went out.
Of course you did. I thought that's what you were going to open on. I didn't think you were going to start with mall.
Curls.
I thought you were going to get
never
good
did
work.
That? You did that, right?
No. Well, no, I was never really in like,
did some push-ups every now
did you get your fucking yeah, but I we used to curl. Do this before like we give me your hand like before we come in I'd be like all right give me a little pressure
and he's then, curling
then I would give you resistance and then just to get a pump isn't that fucking
to
awful
to get a pump yeah
I had a Caesar I had two earrings in
I had two on this side at one point but I quickly got rid of that the whole state though
yeah mine is still there
yeah damn things are still there
all right
I had an Italian horn.
You didn't have it. You didn't have it on the chain.
No, I had it in my ear
and on the chain.
And a diamond. Stuff.
Wait, was it hanging? Dangling?
Yeah, it was dangling.
You are unbelievable.
And the only thing is, I'm fucking only half Italian.
My
last name's Ernst, and I'm rocking like I'm fucking.
If you,
well, I'm
ever...
actually and my grandfather. I'm sorry, I'm mostly Sicilian.
Yeah,
you gotta differentiate.
You should go back and find every girl you ever had sex with on Facebook when you wore that horn earring and just thank them.
I got a picture of the horn. I got a picture of me what I look like then.
We'll send it to us and we'll put it up.
No. This is just for us. This is bad.
This is internal only.
Yeah, this is internal. But yeah, man.
How many would you roll with? Like, how deep was your crew when you'd go out?
I was really ripped.
Damn, you are. Yeah.
Let me see.
Never wore a shirt.
I wouldn't wear a shirt if I looked like that either.
Lord.
And then, you'd go out. Like, I think that's why we would Guido start fights so they could just take their shirt off.
Found that pretty quick, by the way. That thing.
You did find that
pretty quick.
Huh?
You found that picture pretty quick.
It's in an album that my wife sent me, it's easy. I told her. I said you need to put that on the ceiling now. this is the old me. I'll give you this picture to look at me.
Would you tan?
Huh?
Would you tan? Would you go tanning?
Well, I lived in Florida. We were always at the beach.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would always be at the pool.
And would you roll out how many in your crew? And are you looking for trouble or are you looking for a good time?
No. I mean, you know what happens is that there's just problems in numbers. You know, and what would happen is like I'd get two or three of my friends and then we'd meet up. I always say there's certain groups that always get in trouble and they're usually dark haired cultures, you know, Greeks, Italians, Middle Easterns, fucking Latinos, brothers, any group of guys that would go out in a sweatsuit and matching sneakers. I think that's a fucking outfit to go out in.
Yeah.
There's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, you go out in large numbers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the bigger the numbers, the more likelihood.
Someone in the group is going to be trouble.
You also got redneck / Irish, depending on what region of the country you're in. But they usually hang out at bars. Like, they don't go to clubs. Yeah. And here's the other thing. Because you're driven so much, you know, your cultures that love women, we don't go home.
Yeah.
So, like, if the club closes at 2, you know, because the later you're out, the more likely some shit's going to happen.
Then
if you're like, you know,
we're going to the diner till 4:30.
Well, even
this,
then, I'm like, yo, should we go home? No, let's go hang out in the parking lot.
Right.
Nothing wrong could go there.
Right.
You know, and now you're in a parking lot with other dark haired cultures that are all, you know, and then it just escalates. And then if you get to and then the other thing, you don't go home. You're like, let's go to Denny's.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Denny's anywhere in America, I don't care where you're at, from 12:30 to 4 in the morning is the most dangerous place.
It's also delicious.
I'm saying it's the most dangerous. It's a pre-holding cell.
It is.
Some shit's going to happen. Oh, any of those places, Diners.
Denny's is a pre-holding
Waffle House, you know there's going to be a problem.
If you don't say that on stage, you fucking should, because that is the goddamn truth.
No, dude, there's always going to be a problem. You know how many fights we got in at like 3:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
And then if there's no problems and you see like, the guys, people coming in from work, going to work, you know you made it through the night. It's usually truckers coming first.
Yeah.
You can see the guy in the hat with his coffee.
Newspaper delivery.
And you're like all sitting there just with your friends.
No shirt. So tell us about where the hell you would rock no shirt, just a straight up vest?
Just a vest. Go out with a vest, nothing.
Dance and shit. Are you a dancer? Are you out on the floor or are you just over on the side posing? Are you posturing or are you dancing?
I'm dancing, but I played the wall. it just depended on the danger level.
Yeah.
You know, right, like if my buddy's like, yo, we might have a problem, then you're like, all right. And then you stay in the cut and you drink. You always know somebody, you always know something's going to happen. If you ever see a dude holding a bottle like this, with the backhand in it, like, and just up against the wall. I had a friend like that. You always have those friends that just want to fight. Like, I mostly wanted to talk to girls, but my buddy would.
You
like,
or me, yeah.
You know, but then my buddy would be like, yo, why don't you introduce me to anybody? I'm like, because you're fucking scary.
Yeah.
No girl wants to meet you. Like, hey, here's my friend aggressively standing up against the wall. However, that's possible. Ready to launch a bottle at somebody. But it was all like, you know, it's just young dude shit.
Yeah.
But we were always getting in trouble, man. If I, out of my 20 friends, if I was ranking like where I'm the toughest, I would say 17.
Yeah.
Bottom five.
I don't want to be near that one then.
No. Huh?
Yeah. Well, everybody. I'm not, here's the thing too, man. I don't like fighting. Like I used to, and I say this now, but my friends would be like, let's go out. And I'd be like, cool. But I'd be out the whole night and I'd have like butterflies in my stomach. I couldn't relax. Because
you thought they were going to get in a fight.
Yeah, I always knew something was going to happen.
You're never really letting yourself enjoy the night.
Yeah, you just, I'm always nervous. Like, you know.
Enjoy
you get
the night.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself tonight.
you said before we were started recording, you got jumped.
I've been jumped a few times. That's the worst.
Is it because they started some shit and you got involved in it?
You
or
get
what
caught.
Happened?
You get caught. You know, like, you know, it's funny.
Like not wearing a shirt or?
No, you get caught by some dudes that you.
Were you jumped shirtless?
Huh?
Have you ever been jumped
shirtless? That I rubbed up against?
No.
One time at the beach, a couple dudes one time, but yeah, man, it's getting jumps the worst. I don't know if you
at right. The beach you got jumped?
Well, dude, everybody used to hang out on the strip.
Yeah.
You'd be walking down the strip and then there's
Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. And there'd be like a group of dudes. And back then.
I imagine it was a lot. I mean,
look at pictures.
Alcohol.
Look at pictures.
Yeah,
that's nothing but
fights.
And
probably.
If it's like you and your boy and then there's like, then you come across 15 dudes and they don't get out of the way. Then you got the friend that's like, yo, why don't you get the fuck out of the way? And then you're like, here we go. It's hot. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Fighting.
We'll just take the sand, man. We'll take the sand.
We'll take the sand.
But you know what sucks is that like you can't talk. There's sometimes you could talk your way out of it, but 99% of the time these guys are assholes. So no matter what you say, you know, you're like, look, I'm sorry. Oh, what the fuck's that supposed to mean? You know, like they're just going to, you know, man. And then you're like, fuck it. Just swing and run or just get ready to get stole, man.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's just. It sucks, man. Getting in. I tell this all the time. It's the worst fucking thing, man. Nobody likes it because you know you're tired and within the minute you throw the punch, you're like, I fucked up, and then you're just getting wailed.
Adrenaline
on.
Only carries you so far.
And you're tasting pennies in your mouth,
right?
You're getting fucking kicked to sleep.
You're fucking. Your stamina is not. I don't care how in shape you are, unless you're a fighter. Your stamina is not built for fighting. Like you ever. Have you ever been in good shape and then you did an exercise you didn't normally do and you're like, God damn, I'm sore
from
that.
I'm not in shape. Yeah.
Right. So you're already tired from that. And then as soon as that adrenaline crash happens, that automatically makes you tired.
Well, I think Mike Tyson said.
You got to try to carry it quick.
Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah.
And it does, man. It sucks, man. I mean, you know, I was a very inclusive dude. Like I liked everybody. I had way more friends than enemies. You know?
Yeah, I would imagine that.
Yeah, because, you know, I didn't like any of that stuff. It's just you're around it, and then a lot of times it's like, you know, it's always me getting, yo, well, we got a problem. Then you're like, fuck.
Right, you're always being alerted there's a problem.
I'm never
you're
alerting
never
anybody.
You're never the problem, right?
Yeah, I'm always just, I'm in the chorus.
I've never called anybody, yeah.
I'm in the chorus, and then I'll be walking, and they'll be like, yo, there's that dude. And then you're like, who? Nah. You know, I don't know him.
Yeah, I don't have any movie.
Then the cock crows three times after I denied my friend. Then I get kicked asleep in a parking lot. Yeah, I'm not a fan. I was never a fan of that shit, man. You know, that's why people talk about everybody gets bullied, I think. I mean,
I don't disagree with that. I don't know anybody that wasn't picked on or made fun of or made to feel small. Now, maybe not every day for years, but I mean, I certainly know people that got it enough. Shit, our fucking sports coaches would get on us. These days, if I had some of the coaches I had back then today, they would not be coaching anywhere.
I don't even know. Probably I mean, we had a day been. In our school. Did I talk about Cracker Day?
I don't remember cracker hearing knockout about Cracker Day. That does not sound familiar.
So I went to predominantly black schools, and there was a day where the brothers would, like, knock out all the white kids. I actually talk about this in my special at brettcomedy.com. But, no, like, you would just walk down the hallway and just get fucking blasted for no reason, right? And, yeah, there was,
they would just hit, like, the knockout game just knock, that I see
yeah,
going.
Yeah, yeah, they just knock out white kids, all five of us. Sucked ass.
So you knew that, that you didn't, you still went to school?
Well,
that
teachers
day?
Didn't even show up for that shit. But then after a while, like, you know, you just learn to fucking fight back. And you know, it's so stupid the way.
Even on that day?
Yeah. The little boys, the way the little boy social hierarchy is really just about how. Here's the thing, and you might get mad at me again. But when you're raised by, like, when you don't have a father growing up, like, especially as a young dude, you create in your mind what you think a man is at 10. I've talked about this before, I think. Was it here? Another one. So in your mind,
I'm not going to get mad. I agree 100%. I just created a different man than you created.
Right. Yeah. In my mind, a man should be good in sports, you know, have sex with a lot of women and be able to fight. And you think this way. And you, sometimes your actions go against your nature, if that makes any sense. But then when you reach a certain age, like say 25, you realize that's all bullshit. And then you're trying to spend the next fucking 5 to 10 years breaking all these bad habits you've created for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but you do become a product of your environment. And I was always taught to swing first, you know, don't, if there's a lot of woofing going on, you know, and that's the thing. I've had my ass beat. I couldn't tell you how many times, like I say that on stage, like I couldn't tell you how many fights I've been in, but I got about 19 strong losses, like fucking epic. Like,
that's awful.
Just laying there. Somebody's going, who taught this guy how to fight?
Yeah, that's the problem. Nobody.
But like, you know, It just was a part of growing up. I don't know if it was the era, the location. I mean, I talk to people that are like, that's not normal. And I talk to people like you that you're like, yeah.
Maryland was very similar to that.
Absolutely,
for all of
dude.
Us. It really was. Time you say it, I just see it. Yeah.
It just always happened. Like you just always, you get called out. That was the worst. Imagine that. Remember that? Some kid in school wanted to fuck you up. And you're like, what did I do? And you're like, you know, and you get called out. And you're like, fuck, I got to go fight this kid. And you know you're going to get your ass kicked, but you just take the L so you don't look like a bitch. Then everybody makes fun of you for a week, and then you're friends with everybody again.
It never happened in school. It was always sports with me and, like, one neighborhood kid, too. This kid ran his fucking mouth. We were in sixth grade. We had just moved to this new town, and I just wasn't, you know, my parents just split, so I've got a chip on my shoulder. I'm angry, and I'm just not going to take anything from anybody. And this one kid was running his mouth to my brother. I have a twin brother and a younger brother. He's running his mouth to my twin brother. And my brother didn't do anything, which was, my brother was a lot of mouth and not a much backup to, unless it was me. You know, he'd fucking hit me. And he grew out of that. He grew into fighting. But he would talk shit to my brother. My brother wouldn't say anything. And then he looked at me and said something. And I said, you say it to me, I'm going to punch you right in your fucking face. And he said it. And he pushed me. And I just got off my bike and I destroyed this kid. I beat the shit out of this fucking kid. So he cried. I was in sixth grade. He cried to an eighth grader, and an eighth grader came over, and I knew when I came out of the house.
It was going to happen.
I knew it was going to happen. He was so much bigger, and I was just like, let me just ball up here on the ground and take everything he's going to give
like
me.
Like a hedgehog?
Till he's tired. That's what I did. Till he's tired, and then I'm going to go home crying. Yep.
I had this dude, this grown man, fucking beat me up one time.
What?
You could tell he bullied his family. I lived in a lot of apartment complexes, you know? It was a lot of single moms and mm-hmm. just, you know, like poor fucking degenerate families and shit. But, you know, it was nice. And, you know, everything in Florida back then, even in the developments, because I lived in Jersey, then moved back to Florida. I went to 15 schools.
Jesus.
Yeah, one high school, which is another reason.
You went to 14 schools before high school?
I went to one high school, three middle schools. and then the rest were 10 elementary schools. And a lot of that was rezoning, where you got bussed in and then moving a lot.
To just saying rezoning sounds like some guy who's trying to get like a business license. Like, there's rezoning going on everywhere. You know.
What? It was gerrymandering.
That's two different sets of school every 6 months through elementary school.
Well, we had to move a lot, man. And that was another reason why.
But why? Because of money?
A bunch of reasons, man. Yeah. You know, a lot of it was money. A lot of it was, like I said, they would move the zones for the school. So then I would get bussed into another school. And then I got kicked out of a school. And, you know, I was acting out a lot, too. You know, like, because I was going through some shit about my father, and you know, there's a lot of things going on. And I remember I was in the apartment complex, and this kid was on his bike, and the mom, you could tell that this guy that lived there was a drunk dick. You know what I mean? Like they were afraid of him. And me and this kid were playing around. I was new there, right? And I met this kid, and I'm like, yo, and we were talking, and then he was on his bike, and then his dad was like, let's go, get upstairs. He was like yelling at him. So the mom goes, give me the bike. And she took the bike from me. And when she turned around, I stuck my tongue out at her. Right? Because I'm fucking 10.
Right.
This guy goes, you stick your tongue at my wife, you fucking punk. And walks down the stairs and just, boom, popped me in the chest. Now,
what?
Obviously, he didn't hit me with all of his strength because he would have fucking killed me. But it was enough. And the woman was like, oh, she was screaming at him. What the hell is wrong with you? He's like, get the fuck in. It was just this maniac. I just remember thinking, if I had a dad, he'd fuck you up. Totally. I'm going to call my uncle. You're fucking dead. You know, if I had any male figure right
now,
I'm going to pay somebody.
But it's hilariously sad.
This is what would happen. So you move to a new complex, go to a new school. You know you're going to get tried, right?
Yeah.
It's a given. So you get in a fight. You get in trouble the first week. You know they're not going to throw you hard because you're the new kid. They know you're getting tried. But that way it was very important to swing first, just to let you know you weren't a punk. And usually fights are fucking 15 seconds. You know, this is all little kid shit.
Yeah.
And then you make friends. You know, everybody likes that. And then I really made almost all of my friends by making jokes, like mama jokes. Because I was on free, were you on the, did we talk about free breakfast and shit?
Yeah, free lunch. So I had free lunch tickets.
Yeah, I was on the free lunch and free breakfast. So we would sit in the morning and crack jokes and make fun of each other. And then everybody was like, he's pretty cool. And then you'd have a brother step to you every now and then. And you had to handle it or you got your ass whooped. But, you know, it usually was under the rug. And then everybody was cool, man. And then I'm like, fuck, we got to move again. And then I would have to make new friends.
Yeah, that's tough.
That is tough.
But it is what it is, you know?
It makes sense why you've built a, defense mechanism making people laugh, though.
I was very friendly.
Always being tested. Yeah.
But, you know, it was like, whatever. And then you see it. And then, you know, it just would suck when you make friends. Because I spent 7th and 8th grade in New Jersey. And then I was, I went to number 4 school, which was in Passaic, which at that time was a rough town. It still is kind of, but back then it was known. Like Craig Hayward went there. I don't know if you remember him, but it was mostly black and Puerto Rican. And then it was like a lot of Indians and then like leftover Italians from the 50s.
The Ironhead Hayward?
Yeah, Ironhead
Hayward. Okay, I thought so.
And then I was supposed to start high school there. And then my mom moved us down to Florida. And then we moved back down to Florida. But I remember playing those were all my friends was the last team to win the state championship in Passaic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and they all were there. And it's funny,
man,
because
that's cool.
They all talked to me like, you know, they wanted me to come to the reunion and shit. And we all stayed friends, but we didn't have Facebook back then. So when we had Facebook, everybody started finding each other, which I love. But then when I moved to Florida, it was my high school years down there. I moved down there my freshman year. It was like fucking, I mean, first of all, the football down there is just sick, bro.
Yeah.
It's fucking sick.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I went from a little league all-star to like riding a pine.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then I was on JV and then I came up with these guys and I was so blessed and fortunate to go to high school down there and stay at Plantation. I went to Plantation. My little brother was lucky because he went from middle school all the way to high school with the same kids. My older brother got fucking the shaft because he went to 3 high schools.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you guys all play football? New Jersey.
No, my older brother was in theater. He was the gay one.
Yeah.
He could have played.
But Plantation was like the shit, right?
Well, when we were there, we were the first team to go to win districts and went to regionals. And then when I left, like when my little brother was there, they were doing good. But when he left is when they really blew up.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, they were a good team, man.
Yeah.
I love Plantation. Rep them. Dog.
We're getting close to the end here.
Let's do it. Let's write it down.
No. I want to hear these.
I'm talking to
you. I want to hear these ghost stories.
I want to hear
too.
These ghost stories. You had three of them, you said, or at least
well,
two.
No, well, there was when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Now, just for the record, I don't believe in this shit, but I don't want to say that to discredit it. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm not that type of dude that's like, but there's two experiences that were fucking weird.
Okay.
One, when I
like you still don't want to admit it.
I know, right?
I had to call them weird. He said they were weird.
Do you guys believe in ghosts or no?
Yeah.
Yes, I like.
Wait, that joke you do with the butterfly was fucking brilliant. I still remember it. Remember we were down at the Comedy Store that one time in La Jolla, San Diego?
Of course.
Do you want to know what's really funny? Mm-mm. You had this conversation on the last episode.
I'm sure.
From that.
Oh, really?
You brought it up.
So then did I talk about these?
No, you didn't talk about ghost stories, but you talked about how you wish you had that joke, and Steve Byrne liked it, too.
That's great. Because I have so many dead family members.
Right, your mom would say stuff like, that's your brother, the song would come on.
Yeah, or anything. Yeah. And then it's like, you know, even if it's different, it's the same, so why even go near it?
I'm the same way. So many dead relatives. If I see a clock of one in their old address, I'm like, here it is.
There it is. There it is.
I absolutely believe in it. So let's hear it.
All right. So the first one, we lived in West Virginia for a while.
You did? Where?
Yeah, Charleston.
I've been to Charleston.
And I was a little kid. My real father was like a lobbyist, and he worked for the Automobile Dealers Association. So long story boring. I used to sleep over this little kid's house that I was friends with, and his mom... Like, we were supposed to be napping, but they had this cemetery all the way in the backyard.
Oh, boy.
But it was like a fucking Civil
West
War.
West Virginia, yeah.
It was like a Civil War cemetery, you know what I mean? It was like all the way in the backwoods.
Bunch of Harper's Ferry fucking soldiers.
Like that type of shit, right? And you know,
that's
dude.
That's old
Civil
shit
War
too,
fucking
man.
Ghosts. On the East. Don't play. They don't play, man.
Civil War kid ghosts? Forget about it.
Forget it, dude. Like, wait till our friends from Gettysburg get here, motherfucker.
There was a comic that had a great joke about that. Like, why are all the ghosts look like they're from that period? Like, you don't see no
right,
ghosts.
Right, current guy.
Like, yeah, like a track dude suit. In a tracksuit and a jerry curl.
That's funny, yeah.
You know what I mean? Guy totally. With a mullet. God, I wish I could remember who said it. Like, yeah, you don't see no ghosts with, like, fucking in cavalry cheeks.
You don't get to show yourself until you're like 350 years in or something. Yeah, be a ghost robot. You ain't visible. You ain't visible until 300.
Why is that ghost wearing a bedazzled shirt? Oh, that he was from 2006.
You watch.
He OD'd at a rave.
2306. That guy's gonna be invisible ghost.
Who's Von Dutch?
That's scary shit, man.
What? That's the scariest.
Why is this guy wearing a monarch shirt? Who's that? Anyways, ghost with a Caesar.
Oh, my God.
No, what the hell was it? Oh, so we were supposed to be napping. I was like five or six.
So it's daytime.
It's daytime, yeah. Okay. You take a little kid naps.
The daytime of the night.
And we snuck out. Right, and we were running in the back because it to me it looked like it was 1,000 yards away. But when you're a kid, you know,
even at six, he's been... fucking cutting out a nap, sneaking out of the house.
I had all that ADD shit. So we ran out and we were hiding, and then he took off, and like we weren't supposed to be playing around. I don't remember the details because I was 5 or 6. But here's what I fucking remember vividly: there was a lady sitting on the fucking tombstone. Okay. In like a Little House on the Prairie type dress.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
With like flowers and shit. Yeah. And she was
white hair, like old
seniors. No, man, she was young. She was like, and it wasn't like an apparition. It was like a real person. Mm. And I just remember having a conversation with her. I don't know if she was some fucking backwoods, because, you know, back then in West Virginia, you got some hill people.
Yeah.
But she was sitting there just talking to me. But it was like, hi. And I'm like, hey. And then, you know, and I was talking, and I told the girl, my buddy's older sister, was supposed to be watching us. I said, yeah, there was a lady in the cemetery. And she was like, what?
She's like, you've been napping the whole time.
yeah, whatever you saw is great.
Whatever dream you had.
Do you remember what you talked about?
It was just, hi, kid. Like, you know, hey, little boy.
And then you turned around and then she's gone?
No, we literally talked for like... And then she's like, you better get going. And then I just ran in.
Wow.
But it was weird. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it was a ghost, but it was fucking, where'd she come from?
Yeah.
And we knew everybody on the, it was in, it's called Seneca Drive, Seneca Hills in Pinch. And we knew everybody up there. You know, we knew everybody, so I don't know where she came from. Right. But then again, when you're
dressed
a kid,
like that,
your world is so small.
Yeah.
Like, I remember going to the mall thinking, like, oh, this is an adventure. Right. And when I'm like 16, I'm like, it's fucking 5 minutes away?
Yeah. Totally.
That's where it's at.
Right. Yeah.
You ever been driving? It's been here, like, remember when you first start driving?
We could have walked, man.
Because even if you took your bike, it was seen forever.
Yeah.
And then the other one was at the Comedy Store. And I never... I've been there since 1999, right?
Okay.
And I never had anything happen to me. One time I was giving a tour to a friend of mine, and we were telling the stories about how the light bulbs flicker and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if you ever heard the story where the lights in the OR would go on when Kinison died. And, you know, there was all these stories that you heard. So without getting into detail.
Most people go stories that tell me from there are main room and belly room.
Well, this happened in the main room.
Yeah. I mean, people like chairs getting thrown and doing all this kind
of
shit.
Well, dude, this is a bunch of shit. Because I've been there for a fucking long time.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
what
you're,
is that, 17, 18?
You look good, but you're old as fuck.
Almost 20 years.
We're the same age, guy.
2018.
Take it easy. don't get mad at me because I got fucking olive oil skin and guinea charm.
You look good, dude.
maybe you should have went out with just a vest on.
That would, I'd be at a different club, I think.
So the first time I was telling these kids, my buddy that came in from Jersey, I was giving him the tour,
yeah.
You know, because I, you know, it was like a rite of passage with, you know, where the trap door is that goes up to the mountain, to the hill and all the shit on top and where the Gus is, the ghost, and then the fucking bullet hole where they clipped you walking up the stairs and all that shit. And I'm showing him all that stuff. And then we were in the main room and I said to him, I said, and I was telling him a story about the lights, how they would flicker in the OR if like Kinison's light and how people would say like the lights would go on and off. And I said, yeah, because when ghosts, I guess they travel through this shit, because I don't know if it's real, the lights go off. And right when I said that, it went.
No.
Well, you could chalk that up as a coincidence.
Black? It went dark?
No, it was one light. Because it was like, yeah, you know, the lights are all in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could have just went off. It could have been, we'll dismiss that as whatever. This shit is when I fucking freaked me out. So remember when the OR bathrooms were different
because right the room there.
Right, but they did them differently where you had the three stalls here, the two urinals, and then you step down and this was the sink.
Right, you had to step down. Yeah.
Right. So I walk in and I go to use the urinal and there's a dude sitting on the toilet fucking smiling at me, following me.
Dressed or shitting?
Just shitting, like sitting on the toilet. I didn't notice if his pants were down. He was just sitting and I'll show you the face and he was just doing this. Like when I walked in, he was going like this, right? So I see him in the corner of my eye. And I'm thinking, this is fucking weird, dude. And I'm peeing.
He was in there before you?
Yeah, he was just sitting there. So then I go to leave after I'm done.
What time of night is this? Is there a show going on?
It's like 12:45, maybe.
Okay. Because so even if there is a show, it's light.
Back then it was nobody.
Yeah, yeah, nobody.
So there's maybe like 30 people, and then so I go to pee, and I'm thinking, what a fucking. And as I'm walking out, I see him in the corner of my eye, right, with the door open, and he's still smiling. I walk past him, and I go, yo, man, what is this, jail? Close the fucking door, and nobody was in there.
No.
So now, Dave Taylor could tell you this even better. I don't say a word. I don't say a fucking word. I get weird over it. So I walk out in the hallway, and I'm standing there, and Dave Taylor's looking at me. I'm just quiet. And he goes, did you see a ghost? And I go, don't even fuck around, man. I says, yeah. I don't know what I saw. And he goes, you literally look pale. And I still don't know what I saw.
Yeah.
And then there was the guy in the window one time when we were all in the parking lot. I forgot about that story. But like five of us saw him. Because, you know when we bullshit in the parking lot afterwards? And in the window up there.
In the offices?
In the offices, there was a dude in the window. But it could have, again, it could have been a comic fucking with us.
Could have been your seat, man.
Dude, that parking lot, man, there's been some crazy fucking stories back there. Just hanging out.
Just hanging out back in the catacombs back there in that little walkway back there, just smoking. I've been getting high with people back there before, and we've just been trading ghost stories and stuff, and you can feel an energy come through there sometimes, but I don't remember who it was we were smoking with, and they got freaked the fuck out, and they're like, I'm leaving. I don't feel right. Something's wrong back here. And you could feel it. Everyone felt it, and well, they bailed.
You know, the thing, too, is that, you know, when that was Ciro's, there was a lot of shady shit going on. But then even at the Comedy Store itself, that place is, I mean, I love it. I can't. It's just a part of me. I'm so glad I was. We were like the last one of the last classes for Mitzi. I know you guys were, right? Because you came in with like Harloff and Renazizi, or were you?
No.
When did you go in?
2004.
Yeah, that's about the time, because they were there like a 5 or 6.
I didn't go in with anybody, though. If it wasn't for Brett Ernst, I didn't know anybody there.
No, but I'm saying
there was guys. They didn't do name ceremony. They didn't do like any of that pass.
Well, you just look at people that got passed with you.
Yeah, I always thought Renazizi was there longer than me.
But, well, he used to work the door there.
Yeah,
I always pictured you with like Christian Harloff and Mark Ellis, like that. That
Ellis
that
was after me, but Harloff might have been around. Because
I got
same
Harloff
time.
In too. I remember I recommended him.
Yeah.
But you know, you get there and it just becomes part of who you are as a comic. And what I love about the place is I read this article about Peter Luger's Steakhouse where they don't clean the pan, the cast iron pan.
Yeah.
So it's, well,
you should never clean any of your cast iron pans.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I use a paper towel and wipe it out.
But you're not supposed to. And the flavor's in the pan. Right. So when it gets so hot, it kills all the bacteria and it's all flavor. And that pan is the same pan for like 50 fucking years, which is why the steaks are so good. Now, I don't know how true that is, but that OR is that pan.
Right. Yeah,
and there's so much fucking great comedy that has been through there. So much, and the place reeks dysfunction. And there's a certain brand of comedian that really excels there, and it's usually, you know, our type. You know what I mean? I mean, like it's such a great room to work. And sure. And what I love now is because we were me and Jeff Scott, and we were all talking like 10 years ago. That was a different Comedy Store.
Oh my god.
But it was more ours. It was more like us. Now it's still ours, but I meant now it's run like a fucking show. Like every show, Adam's got that place buzzing, that every show sold out. Yeah. I remember getting 30 people on a Friday at the OR. You were like, "Fuck, we got a crowd." And we just lived there and we worked there and you know, we were just always there and it became such a part of us that's why everybody who came through that place. I was there in the parking lot about 3:15 in the morning and fucking Robin Williams turned the corner. And we were all sitting there, and I'm like, "Yo, like, you know, what are you doing here? Are you fucking slumming?" He's like, "Oh, I missed this place, you know." And he's like, "I was just thinking about it, and you know, he must have been going through some shit."
Yeah.
And he sat back there, chopped it up with us for like 45 minutes. There was a bunch of us back there when that happened, and it was just incredible. And he was just saying how much he's just a part of this place, how it just becomes a part of you.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you feel that or no?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I don't feel very connected to any place, but like the store, I would go there, and then it was just like it was always like a love hate for me because I would go there, and it was so far. I was always on the West Side, so like I would never go and hang out. I was never like a big drinker back in the day, so I wasn't like hanging. So like, I mean, I love the store, man, and I'll never forget like Mitzi pulling me over and passing me to my face, and you know, bringing my wife there for the first time and loving the fucking belly room. I used to do the belly room all the time.
Dude,
I loved the fuck out of that.
That's why Chappelle shot there.
Me too. Yeah, that room I feel like made me more of a comic than any other room.
That room, with him shooting that is compared to when Dice did When the Laughter Died. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he did that at like 1 o'clock in the morning in front of like 12 people.
Oh, really?
You
in the store?
You ever heard that album? No, it was at a comedy club in New York.
Yeah, it's a double cassette, isn't it?
Yeah, and yeah, I think Rick Rubin produced it. It's so brilliant.
You here?
And
I hear ya. Do that.
But nobody's in the audience.
Yeah.
And he did that on purpose. I compared those and Chappelle to do that last special in the belly room was fucking dope, man.
Yeah.
It really was, man. I mean, that set and I mean, I don't mean to bore you with this shit, man, but that's how much that's why I love comedy. Like that exudes what comedy is in that room. With the comics, it's just packed, small room, and just shooting the shit. It's like Patrice's set in the belly room. You ever see that online?
No.
Patrice O'Neill's set? It's fucking dope.
Yeah.
I think comedy's the best it's ever been. And
it is right now.
The comics are just, I mean, I can rattle off 20 that are just fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Really, think about it. And it's just such, and the internet and podcasts have really made that possible. Because if it wasn't for this stuff, nobody would know who half the fucking people, who probably 90% of the people are.
You're right about that. There's the people that get held back by industry or whatever. Yeah, now there's a voice for everybody out there.
And what's great is that you're seeing the bar.
That's right.
Right? So Hollywood could push some fucking pop comic.
That's right.
Or some people that, you know, and here back comes in the day, that's all you saw.
A podcast that gets fucking 5 million downloads.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Or,
but like, that still could hold it. Like, you know, like it would be a good example. Like, oh, I saw so-and-so on HBO. Really? Have you seen fucking Bill Burr in Philly?
Yeah,
right.
You know, like the internet makes the bar high because right. If you have a good spot or something on there that nobody could have ever seen otherwise, whatever they're showing you, and I'm not saying the industry's dropping the ball because there's some great comics that they've been blowing up. But I think it's really good to be. I think comedy and porn is the best it's ever been.
I couldn't agree more with you on that. And on that, we are going to fucking wrap it up. Will you one more time plug your social media, whatever
sure.
you'd like?
Just go to brettcomedy.com. You can subscribe to my YouTube channel there, my Facebook channel at brettcomedy.com, and also my podcast, You're on the List, which just moved to All Things Comedy. But if you go to brettcomedy.com, check out my new special. It's Neil Brennan helped me with it, and I shot it. You know, I put some money into it, and to decide to give it to free, I did it in one take. And then, you know, edited a little, but it's still one take. It's all I had money for. But,
Where'd you shoot it?
I shot at the Colony Theater in Burbank.
Cool.
But the way I did it is, you know, it's a kind of a personal thing. And I know that even to try and pitch it or to sell it there would have been some problems with it. Because a lot of the stuff in there is like personal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like comedy.
Like the next one I'm going to do, right. I won't do it this way.
Right.
Doing it myself like comedy. Yeah, like the
sign us.
No, it's everybody else's story, right? Brett,
who do you, see him playing Brett in your special?
Well, we need diversity.
Right, we need diversity. Is there a diverse Brett?
Can we get a Middle Eastern woman? Because we have the same eyebrows. Anyways, guys, I know I'm talking a lot, but you two are not only, you know, two of my favorite comics, but two of my favorite people. We've been friends a long time.
Yeah, man, it's great to have you back. You know what I mean? This is awesome.
Thank you for coming and doing this.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Talk to y'all next Tuesday.